It is a Thursday, March the 14th, 2024, and we're joined by the voice of the KU Jayhawks, Brian Haney, brought to you, as always, by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. The Jayhawks falling to Cincinnati in the second round of the Big 12 tournament last night at T-Mobile Center in Kansas City. Cincinnati winning over the Jayhawks, 72-52. KU down by 13 at halftime and rallying, cut it to 2. That's as close as they would get. Jayhawks now 22-10 on the season. KJ Adams tying a career high with 22, but DeJuan Harris, 3 of 11 from the floor. Elmelkar Jackson, 2 of 11, 0 for 4 from 3. Johnny Furphy, 1 of 8 from the floor, 0 for 3 from 3. Nicholas Timberlake, 2 of 9, 1 of 5 from 3. KU was 3 of 20 as a team from 3-point land, shot 33% in the game, but no Hunter Dickinson, no Kevin McCullough due to injury, and KU hopes to have those guys ready to go for the NCAA tournament coming up next week, which we'll find out where and when and who KU is going to play, where they're seated, coming up on the selection show this weekend. And Brian, obviously it was uphill battle going in with you missing two All-Americans. One's a second-team All-American, McCullough, and Dickinson's a third-team All-American. You take those two guys out of the equation, I don't care what team you are, you're going to suffer, and certainly KU suffered last night offensively.
They sure did, and that was about as bad as you could forecast. We knew it would be a challenge, no doubt, but to see the shooting numbers that you just rattled off, it's clearly not what this team was hoping for. But the good news is you get a chance to regroup and get two first-team All-Leaguers back, two team All-American players back on Monday of next week. As coaches said, for Kevin McCullough to get to practice on three straight days, he hasn't done that in a month. And Hunter is ahead of schedule, so that's a positive as well. There's still hope on the horizon, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think now when you start to think about all of this, we've talked about it before, I think, in previous years, where Kansas really would like to win the Big 12 tournament, but there have been years where Kansas won the Big 12 tournament. They flamed out early in the NCAA tournament. There's years they've won the Big 12 tournament, gone deep in the NCAA tournament. There are times where they've been bounced early, maybe in the quarters or semis, where it gives them time to regroup and they can rest up and they can get some extra practice time in, and sometimes that can be a blessing in disguise. But I guess the biggest thing at this point of the season is the health of McCullough and Dickinson. And if you did get knocked out last night, you do have more time to prepare for the NCAA tournament, more time to have practices. But that's only good if these guys can actually get out there and practice.
No doubt. And that's where, you hope that Self's reports on Monday and what he echoed last night stays true and continues to be the case. And it's not just, best case scenario for the sake of a selection committee so that Kansas doesn't get penalized by its current injury situation. We've seen that happen before with Kansas. We've seen it happen every year with different teams battling injuries coming in. Seed lines can be affected. In this case, I genuinely believe he's telling the truth. He's never given us a reason to think otherwise. He's always been as forthright on injuries as any coach I've ever been around. And I've seen Hunter in practice in the last couple of days, and I've talked to Kevin, and it sure seems like the arrow's pointing upward for both those guys to be on track with what Bill Self is saying. When he says they'll be a full go, he means able to run out there and do their normal capabilities. Now, with Hunter, is there still going to be some lingering discomfort? I would have to think so. I asked Coach about that on Monday's Hawk Talk. Will there be a range of motion issue? Will there be lingering pain? And he reiterated he'll be a full go. I have to think there'll still be some discomfort talking about, 2 weeks removed from a pretty significant injury. But I will tell you, I'm super impressed and surprised at what he's been able to do range of motion-wise. And so I'm encouraged. With Kevin, it's been a nagging thing that, he's not had liftoff off of that left leg in the games he has played during the last month and a half. And we've had this stretch of extended absences, having missed 6.5 games in the last 10. The injury's real, but at the same time, I heard Seth Greenberg describing it yesterday on television, saying, it's not an injury that is derailing in terms of availability. He said it's more of an inconvenience injury. And by that he means it's something you can play through if the season's on the line. You just have to be dealing with the pain tolerance issue. And then you have to be aware that it's probably not going to be 100% in terms of explosion and liftoff. Now, will he be as close to 100% as he's been in 6 weeks? that's the hope. I don't know that he'll still be all the way there. And let's be honest, you know, some of that's part mental in telling yourself you can trust it. But I know Kevin is so motivated. It's been frustrating for him to have to sit. This is the right call for him to really put all their eggs in the basket of being healthy for next week and sitting last night. Because even if you win last night with Kevin McCullough, if you don't have Hunter all week, it probably wasn't going to be a deep run. And you'd hate to suffer a setback last night in what's essentially a meaningless game. You know, Kansas was flirting with the 3-4 seed line, probably falling to a 4 seed even before last night. Last night, I think, cements them with that seed line drop. Are there some out there that think Kansas could fall further? Definitely. I mean, this you know, selection is done by humans, not computers. And at the end of the day, if they decide the injury situation is too precarious, they could drop Kansas even farther. But more than likely, with the number one strength of schedule in the country and 4 top 10 wins and all of that, with a little bit of grace given to the fact that they've been without a first-team midseason All-American so much in the last 6 weeks, and you take the coach at his word that he's coming back, I'd like to think Kansas holds on to that 4-seed line. And so the point in saying that is it really didn't benefit Kansas much to risk playing Kevin yesterday. Kevin's happy with that decision. When I talked to him last night at literally 12:30 a.m., he was so motivated to get back. He was really told me, we're going to get this thing figured out. We're going to get this right. And he wasn't talking about it to me. He was talking about the team. And you know, clearly, it's more than just an injury situation right now with these guys. It's a shooting woes situation that's got to get solved in the next 8 days. As Coach Self said, they got to get their swagger back. But I think in terms of the two guys you asked about, there's definite reason to have optimism that both will be close to what we expect them to be next week.
Well, that's certainly the hope for the Jayhawks, and the Big 12 tournament will go on without KU. Where do you think, or how do you think this is going to fall? I know it's hypothetical because, as you said, who knows? Sometimes we think we have it figured out where KU is going to be seated, or we usually do, but then where KU is going to go? What are the most logical options for Kansas in regards to seed and where they would go the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament?
Well, I mean, I'm going to be frank with you. I try to be a straight shooter. Falling to the 4 seed and no further seems just, but it also seems a little bit fortuitous, as rough as it's looked the last 5 weeks. So what are you penalized beyond that? Well, you might be penalized beyond that in the sense that Omaha is no longer in play. And, you know, when you're in the top 4 seed lines, you have pod seeding, geographical preferential treatment that Kansas has been the benefit of almost every single year. The last time they weren't, because I don't count 2021 because that was a bubble, right? Everybody was going to Indy. The last time they weren't hooked up geographically was 2019. We don't have to relive that. We lost in the second round to Auburn. It wasn't pretty, but we went to Salt Lake City. That's actually, believe it or not, one of the 8 first and second round sites this year. But I've seen Joe Lenardi projecting Kansas to SLC, Salt Lake City. I've seen him project us to Pittsburgh. Today, this morning, CBS's bracketology had us projected to Spokane, Washington. So I think the easy answer to your question is that regionally, you know, in terms of location, we have seen Kansas not just lose its grasp on the hometown hookup, and Omaha's not a hometown, but you know what I mean, the close drive hookup, to possibly being shipped somewhere far, far away, where you don't have much of a crowd advantage or fan convenience of getting there. And, you know, there's some schools of thought that right now for this team that's facing more adversity than any self team I can remember because of the 2019 team. I mean, they were never picked to be the number one team in the country. They didn't have the expectations that this team has. Some school of thought that maybe that's what they need, just get away from everything. And I know this sounds so cliche, but I've seen it be true just about every sport I cover, that sometimes when your back's against the wall, everybody's counting you out, all the naysayers are out in full force, to just get away from what's familiar and known, get away from the masses, and kind of be on an island with you guys with the tightest pedal of the year could be just what this team needs. Maybe going to Pittsburgh, not Kansas, Pennsylvania, might be just what this team needs. Maybe Spokane, Washington, or one of these faraway possible geographic send-offs could be, you know, something that gives Kansas a chance to just be that tight-knit group and go out there and play ball And I think the other thing that comes into play, you know, we're not going to be in the same bracket as Houston. They're not going to have two conference teams play each other prior to the Elite Eight. And Kansas has a 4 seed, Houston has a 1, would potentially meet up in the Sweet 16. So you're not going to get Houston. I think right now what we've seen Kansas struggle to the degree of these last 6 weeks probably puts you in UConn's bracket or Purdue's bracket. And as 4 seed, they would have to play them in the third round, the Sweet 16. That stinks. But yeah. You know what? You got to beat the best to be the best in most years' cases. I realize in 2022 we caught some breaks along the way to winning it all. This is not a year where you would expect to catch a lot of breaks. And I think starting on Selection Sunday, probably one of those two is going to be staring back at you. And the two and the three in front of you might be, you know, pretty fearsome as well. And I think, as I said last night on the broadcast, we're so used to have Kansas being the team everybody's gunning for. I mean, prior to this year, we've been a 1 seed 11 of the last 17 years, if you include 2020, when there wasn't a bracket, but we were number one in the nation. 11 of the last 17. We're always the hunted, not the hunters. We're always the team everybody's gunning for. And we still will be with Kansas across our chest. But I promise you, whatever region we get shipped to, whatever three teams are the seeds ahead of Kansas in that region, if not four teams ahead of us, because we could fall to a 5, you never know. But I promise you, nobody is going to be, you know, rushing to pick Kansas in their brackets from a national analyst perspective. This is a rare year where Kansas will be countered out by most and overlooked by most. They're not going to be overlooked by their opponent necessarily, but I think there's a certain extra edge that could give this group a group that will feel disrespected, counted out, and taken for granted. And just in looking at the determination last night of Kevin and DeJuan as they were sitting outside the team hotel, almost, you know, planning out what these next 3 weeks need to look like with determination on their faces and frustration, but also, you know, resilience about them. I think they're going to be okay with being an overlooked team and have that chip on their shoulder and understand that right now a lot of the fan base has grown anxious and they're ready to go out there and surprise everybody. So hopefully they can use all of that to their own benefit. But it's definitely a different feeling heading into Selection Sunday, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you know, I've mentioned this a few times now that when you count out somebody like Andy Reid, a Patrick Mahomes, as people did with the Chiefs, you count out a Bill Self, you count out All-Americans if KU has them healthy and ready to go, that you're really going to look like a fool possibly down the line. Obviously, I don't feel as confident about KU and their situation right now compared to what the Chiefs and where they were going into the playoffs. That's kind of obvious. And you were talking about the seeding, and when you look at Kansas right now, there is no way that you can logically say that they are a 3 or a 4 seed. There's just no way. The product that they have. Well, of course, they're not full strength, as you mentioned. And I'm looking back here, and I don't know if they use this stuff that much anymore for the NCAA tournament. Sometimes the goalposts are always moving. But, you know, Kansas has lost 4 of 5. They've lost 2 in a row. They lost 4 of the last 5. They've lost 6 of their last 10. That's not exactly a team that's setting the world on fire. And, yes, they're extenuating circumstances with the injuries and not having a lot of depth and so forth and so on. Kansas isn't the only school that's dealing with lack of depth or having some key guys hurt. Marquette's got a key player, their guard. He's out, so forth and so on. But what about the way you're trending late in the season? Do you think that has much of an impact anymore in regards to how teams are viewed going into the tournament and how they are placed on the seed line?
I think it does. I just don't know how much.
Yeah.
And that's the type of question that doesn't get answered until after the brackets come out.
Right.
The committee chair is being interviewed. And then, well, did you look at this? And how much did you prioritize that? It has to be. I mean, for years we were told last 10 games meant something. But at the same time, strength of schedule means something. Net ranking means something. I've not seen our net updated today. It was 18 to start the week. So you're in that 4 or 5 seed range there. But the strength of schedule vaulted many minds of the smart thinkers on this, that Kansas was in the 3-4 territory as opposed to 4-5. What I said earlier about, you know, these final decisions are made by humans and not computers, and so you have to account for, you know, human discretion, or not discretion, but, you know, human judgment as opposed to just the analytical data. That's where the eyeball test that you're talking about really factors in, and that's where I wouldn't be stunned if they fell to a 5 seed.
Yeah.
Do I think they're deserving of better based on all those top 10 wins and the strength of schedule? Absolutely. But, yeah, you can't just sweep under the carpet the way it's looked for the last 10 games, and particularly the last five. And hopefully, though, on that same note and that same point, the human element takes into account just what this team has been up against health-wise. But as I said, and C.J. Moore wrote a column on this, just came out this morning, about how Kansas doesn't have an injury problem, they have a shooting problem. You know, that's something that we can't just write off as, well, you know, Kevin's down. Well, Kevin wasn't exactly scorching the nets when he was in, and he's one player. He's not going to solve an entire, you know, shooting, I don't want to say crisis, but shooting dilemma right now for Kansas. It kind of feels like a crisis. You know, I watched the numbers last night, but these are things that will have to be addressed in the offseason. But the good news is, if you get Hunter Dickson back, and Dickinson's close to what he was before, the reason why Kansas was the best field goal percentage shooting team in the Big 12 Conference is because so many of their buckets came inside the paint. And you can go back to being that version of the team. But Bill Self said, in the postseason, we're going to have to find a way to hit six or seven threes a game. And you know, they haven't hit in that territory going back to January consistently. And so they're going to have to do that so you can space the floor, as we talked time and time again about the last couple of months. Good news is, you know, you won't labor to score 50 once Hunter comes back and Kevin comes back, because those guys themselves will be enough, you know, of a force and also a focal point defensively that it's going to make everything so much easier. Question is, can they get any kind of help on the perimeter? And bless his heart, you know, Nick Timberlake wowed us all on senior night with the 18 points, and then the senior speech afterwards said, you know, hopefully this is the start of something big. And we all wanted to believe that. I told you on these reports, it's hard to put him in that Ruby Martin, Malik Newman, he's going to change the next month category just yet. But you want to believe he could impact it. And I think what I told you last week was, if we could just count on him hitting one to two shots a game going forward, what a lift that would be. And, you know, last night, obviously, 2 of 9, that's not going to cut it. He only got the 9 shots in the minutes that he got because he was forced to play that long.
Right.
After he opened 0-for-5, he wouldn't have been in with a full lineup. So it's frustrating. A couple of those misses were really off. One hit the top of the side of the backboard, and that to me is a guy that just right now, confidence-wise, is really, really grasping and struggling. And, you know, as I said on the broadcast last night, the famous Yogi Berra quote, 90% of the game is half mental. Right now it's 110% mental, I think, for Nick, and that's not a great headspace to be in, entering the biggest games of the year, on the biggest stage of the year, with the most pressure and all that. And so he's just one example. You know, this is a roster void of other shooting, you know, threats as well. And even had Arturo Morris not had the off-the-court thing that erased his Kansas, you know, playing days pretty quickly, he was not going to be a three-point lights-out shooter either. He was more of an athlete, a driver, penetrator, that kind of thing. So I think there's, you know, some clear, fair points to be made constructively on where this roster was lacking on, you know, three-point shooters to begin with, and how many eggs were put in the basket of Nick coming in and being this, you know, great shooter on a Grady Dick type level, because clearly they've been a far cry from that, and you haven't had other options in the wings. And obviously when you had the scholarship production because of the Adidas situation, you were limited in bringing in certain guys to begin with. And obviously in the portal era, where everybody's moving around, if they're not guaranteed starter minutes, it's harder to keep great guards like that waiting in the wings. I get that. But at the same time, you know, it goes without saying this club is two or three shooters short of what they would typically have at Kansas, and that clearly showed last night.
Yeah, and you know, the two guys that you really would have to count on to hit those perimeter shots, you know, outside of McCullough, would be Furphy, who just turned 19, so you're putting a lot on a kid that reclassified to play this year, and he's done great considering everything. And then Timberlake, and you already mentioned his struggles this year. So we'll see how it all plays out. We'll find out where KU goes coming up on Sunday. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you as always by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. So we will find out where KU plays coming up later this week, and we'll talk more about that with you next week, Brian. But time for our off-the-wall question for you. You know, I go to the gym. I like to work out from time to time. That allows me to go get my Blizzard at Dairy Queen or whatever the case may be, and make myself feel better about things, which makes no sense whatsoever. It's counterproductive. But anywho, you like to go to the gym as well. So the off-the-wall question for you is, what is your biggest pet peeve at the gym. And the reason I bring this up is I like to do circuit training, go from different machines or whatever, but I use dumbbells. And some people would say, well, I am a dumbbell, so I should be using dumbbells. And so there's, you know, certain weights that I'm comfortable with that I use with different exercises at the gym. And when I'm done with them, even in between, usually in between circuits, I'll put them back on the rack, even though I could maybe keep them there if I'm going to, you know, go to different machines and so forth and so on. And it's kind of become a little bit of a pet peeve of mine now is when people take the dumbbells and then they go ahead and they put them, they were using them. They don't put them back. And then they're over there talking to people or they're on their phone for 10 minutes or they're shooting the breeze with other people while those dumbbells are sitting over in their area. Now, I know I could go over politely, ask, hey, are you done with those? Could I have those dumbbells? At the same time, I don't want to interrupt anybody's workout, although clearly in this situation, they're not really working out. So there's my pet peeve. What's yours?
You know, when you started to ask that question, my mind immediately went to the guy or gal that is sitting on the machine I want to use with their head down on their phone,
yes,
scrolling the internet or sending a text, and they're literally sitting there for like 3 or 4 minutes between reps. and I'm thinking, man, if I could just get in right now while you're checking Twitter or whatever, I could be done.
Right.
Because I'm one of those guys, I genuinely believe, and I've been taught when I train, that, you know, 30-second break before your next set, whatever it is, and then you move on to the next, and you keep powering through, and it's not time under tension necessarily, the tut workouts, it's similar principle, that you keep it moving, you keep your muscles engaged, all that. And so when I see people now in this day and age of, you know, so much social media and on your cell phones, just kind of camped on a machine, and let's say it's the butterfly chest press machine, and they're just sitting there for like 5 minutes, and I keep pacing back and forth, and I'll take a machine nearby, but I've got my eye on it. Finally, I'll just stand there. If it's like a college kid, I'll just kind of stand there, my hands on my hips, stare at the dude until he finally looks up, and then be like, "You good?
Really?"
So yeah, I can totally empathize with that pet peeve for sure. But you know, it used to be back in the day, the meatheads that would be lifting these huge barbells, and then they drop them on the ground.
Oh yeah,
you know, grunting about it. And I think Planet Fitness, you know, started putting signs on the wall that said, don't drop the weights, you know, don't grunt if you can't help it, and that kind of thing, because you had those guys trying to make a spectacle of themselves, like, look at how much I'm lifting, and they're slamming it down, and everybody's looking around, and it's not a positive look around when that happens.
Right.
Maybe there's one girl that's impressed by that, but most aren't.
Yeah.
And I think that's got to be high on the gym pet peeve list as well.
You know, there are things that you think about doing, but you know you're not going to do. And there's one that just popped in my head when you were talking about these guys grunting and whatever and dropping the weights. I just all of a sudden thought about it. I want to at some point, because we all got to relieve stress, right? And sometimes working out is a reliever of stress for me, is just go up there and just grab the 45-pound bar. That's it. No weights on it, all right? And make sure that people are kind of watching. And just go ahead and do a squat with it, whatever you want to do, a deadlift, and just drop it, and then just go, ah, really loud so the whole place can hear it, like you're a big manly man when you lifted a 45-pound bar. And just see what people do and how they react. That would be something that maybe Impractical Jokers or somebody like that would do, but I would love to see the reaction, and I wish I had the guts to do it. That'd be pretty funny. I would love to see the voice of Jayhawks do it. That'd be awesome.
I like your Impractical Jokers idea. I could see Murr doing that. Yeah. Although he's gotten more jacked over the years, but he's a skinny, tiny little guy. And imagine him doing that in a gym full of, you know, linebackers. That'd be hilarious.
I would laugh my butt off, that's for sure. Hey, man, sorry about how things went yesterday, but hopefully KU get a nice draw. We'll talk about the draw and the tournament coming up with you next week. And safe travels wherever you go.
Hey, thanks so much, buddy. Always a pleasure. And, yeah, we'll look forward to breaking it all down next week. Right here, buddy. Thanks so much.
Thank you. That's Brian Haney, voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday by Anderson Insurance Agency, the Farm, Home, Auto, Life, and Crop Insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.